Hey, man, I'm going to be in the book of Exodus. I'm going to jump right in quickly because of time. Because I know you can't wait for the mystery meat. And so, how many try mystery meat? Raise your hand. Oh, come on. How many are afraid you don't trust me? Okay, I see how it is. All right. Exodus 28. Not going to get dinner with me. I'm trying to think. I think I might take him to that, the ones who went to the Cheesecake Factory. That's where I'm thinking about going. But if you don't trust me, you know, okay. So, and then I'm going to call him ahead of time. I'm going to have that same mystery meet waiting for you there. And, Exodus 28, starting verse 1, it says, and take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. And by the way, when God calls you to do something, he prepares you for it, he equips you. Whom God calls, God equips. And if God tells you to do something, you do it because he will equip you. He will give you what you need to do it. Whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate them, they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So God made people who are skilled to make these special garments. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, and mitre, and a girdle. And they shall be make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and they shall make an ephod of gold, of blue, of purple and scarlet, and fine twine linen with cunning work. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be the same according to the work thereof, even of gold and of blue and of purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and those are important, and grave on them the name of the children of Israel, six on their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. And the work of an engraver of stone, like an engraving of a signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones, and the names of the children of Israel shall make them to be set in ouches or settings of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones for a memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about carrying others on your shoulders and in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these people who have come. Thank you for the heart that we can have for your harvest. Thank you for the heart we can have for other people, and that you give us that heart and even command us to have that heart. I pray today you'd speak to us and we would get that heart. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we find they're given garments for the high priest. The high priest was the number one position of spirituality in the nation. You basically would go in once a year into a place called the Holy of Holies. And that you would go into that one place one time a year. Only one person could go in there. And that one person had to be sanctified and cleansed in a certain way. If he didn't do it right, he would die in that room where God's presence was. And this person would go and he would take a sacrifice to the entire nation into there. And the high priest, there was priests, but the high priest would wear this certain outfit that was made just for him. And only the high priest could wear this outfit. And it had a certain settings and certain things with it and certain characteristics of it. And it was made very specifically. And on the first part that we'll talk about here, do we have this picture up here? There we go. Go ahead and put that up there. On the first part of it, he had what were called ouches or settings on his shoulder. And in the settings were a large onyx stone on each shoulder. And in that onyx stone, they had the name, there's 12 tribes of Israel. We're ready for it whenever you are. The 12 tribes of Israel. And these 12 tribes, they would have six names on one and six names on the other onyx stone. And they would be on his shoulders. And he'd wear that. And that's what he'd wear. I don't know if we're going to get it up here. And if we'll be able to see it. Let me turn off the light a little bit.
Oh, wrong one. Too many lights. Looking for this one. There we go.
And so the high priest would wear these things, and on the shoulders were these stones, but they would engrave very carefully the names of six tribes, Levi and Simeon and they would Judah and Levi or whatever. They would put six names on one side and six names on the other, and he'd wear that. And it says while he was supposed to wear that in verse 12, and thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for memorial. He was supposed to wear this robe, and on the shoulder were these tribes with the names of all the people, because he's representing the entire nation, and he would go into God's presence with a memorial before God. And he would carry on his shoulders the weight, the names, the responsibility, the thought, to show God, and also to remind God, a memorial to God, he was the one who did that. And he was to bring that before God. And that was his responsibility, and he would bear them on his shoulder. And this was to symbolize carrying the burden of people upon his shoulders to God. He was carrying the burden of the people on his shoulders to God. That's the first thing we see here. The second thing was the robe he wore, the first thing was a robe he wore with the things in his shoulder. And the second thing he had was a breastplate. This is had gold chains that went over his neck, and then it would hang around his neck. And in this was 12 different stones, and it mentions these stones, and in the rows, and down to verse 17. And thou shalt set in it of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis and topaz and carbuncle. So the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Third row, a ligure and an agate and amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. And so you got these four rows, and they are hanging there, and the different stones in there. And the names of Israel on each stone. And he would take those with him as he did his priestly duties, his high priest duties. And God says, I want you to wear these and have these names on your breastplate. And then God in his goodness decides to tell us exactly why he does that in verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. One tribe on each stone, 12 stones, 12 tribes. Everybody in Israel was part of these tribes. Everybody there were on his shoulders to carry their burdens as a symbol of burden, and he is carrying their burdens, and he is carrying the burden of them on his shoulders, and then one across his heart and as a breastplate. And it says, because I want you to have their names on your heart when you come before me, and carry their names near to your heart. That thou shalt take the bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. He wasn't allowed to do his priestly duties, all the high priest duties, without this outfit on. God wanted to always carry these things before God. When he was in God's presence, when he was doing the things in the temple, he would have the names of Israel and the people of Israel on his heart continually and on his shoulders continually, symbolizing, first of all, carrying the weight of their burdens, and secondly, having them near his heart when he goes into the presence of God. And this symbolized keeping the people of Israel on his heart when he went into the holy place, and when he was with them. It says again in verse 30, and thou shalt put the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth forth before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And it shows he had them on his heart. What a symbol of what we're supposed to do. Let me take you to the New Testament and show you some verses on this. And because of time, I won't read as many scriptures as I would have. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We'll read some other scriptures a little later. I want us to learn to step out of our selfish by nature world that we tend to live in. And I want us to learn to bear the burdens of others and carry others in our heart. We are so messed up in the way we are taught to be selfish. It's all about you. You got to take care of yourself. You got to do what it's about you. You got to do what you. And we've gotten to the point we become so weak that we can't handle our own burdens. That's a whole other sermon. So when somebody wants to go and say, I need you to help me carry my burdens, we say, I can't do that. I just got to take care of myself right now. I got to take care of myself. And there's a lot of reasons that we can't do that. I think you are taught to be selfish, and your selfishness makes you very weak. Selfishness makes you weak. Your mind on others makes you strong. But when you just think about yourself, you will find, because God did not design you to just think about yourself, you will find yourself not able to handle your own burdens. But when you take on yourself the burdens of others, you'll find yourself able to take your burdens and handle them and handle others' burdens. Because now you're obeying God. Did you know that people, and I could sound 90 years old and tell you about my grandparents and my wife's grandparents and what they had to go through. When the mother died and at 12, the 12-year-old girl had to become the mom of the family and there was like 8 kids. And she had to cook and take care of dad and take everything on a farm and run everything. And that little girl would cook for everybody and change the diapers and take care of the babies and run everything. And you know what? She grew up just fine and became a very happy lady in life and succeeded in life. You know what happened if you do that to a 12-year-old girl now? You gave her one kid in diapers. We're at the psychiatrist. Why? Because people are weak. And they're weak because they do not need to be strong. I want you to get that there. I want you to understand, when you don't need to be strong, you become very weak. But most people, when they have to be strong, you know how when somebody died and you had to take care of the funeral and you had to be there and you had to take care of 20 other things, and you who last week could barely take care of flipping pancakes in the morning, suddenly now, with a huge burden on your shoulders and a big heartache, you stand up and say, we're going to take care of these things. Why? Because you needed to be. The person who says, you know what, I'm just disabled and I can't get around, I can't do anything. If I put a pit bull 100 yards behind you and put you a door 50 feet in front of you, you find out you could move pretty fast when you want to. See, because when you have to step up, you do. When you have to be strong, you do. And when you decide that you care about other people and you're going to carry the burden of the Lord and the burden of people to God, you say, I don't got time to be weak. I don't got time to be pathetic. I don't got time to be a whiner and quit and not stand up. I've got to be strong. You can put the picture down. He's better looking than I am. He'll look at him. And but if you want to give me those stones, I'll take that outfit. And I'll be down at the pawn shop. But God designed you to carry other people's burdens. God designed you to have other people on your heart. And you want to get really miserable and become a really miserable person, have one person on your heart, you. And the people who the world revolves around them, and the people that the world, all they care about is them, and the people who all they think about is them are very miserable people. Because there's not enough people to please them all the time. and all they worry about is themselves. God designed you to carry the burdens of others on your shoulder and to carry other people into God's presence on your heart. And when you get other people and other burdens on your heart, when you care about other people, you get selfless and you get strong, and God lifts up your shoulders and you become strong and you don't crumble under things. And you're able to handle other people's burdens, and God gives you more people because you can still handle it, and he gives you more people. And pretty soon, you're standing there amazing because you're carrying the burdens of a lot of people and a lot of people and things on your heart. And you listen to the psychiatrist. He says, take these drugs and go hide, and all you do is think about yourself and just take care of yourself all day. And how's that work for you? Yeah. Tell me when you're off your meds doing that. It'll be sometime when you have to change meds when you're in a walker, because you're not going to get off those meds because you're selfish. And the psychiatry of selfishness and you, and not even thinking about your kids, let alone your family, let alone other people, it's not all about you. You aren't standing here, and the earth and the universe is not rotating around you. Someone once said, if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you're a very small package. And he says, take these, their burdens on your shoulders. Bear ye one another's burdens. So if I have a burden, that's fine. I'll have burdens, and I have burdens. But I'm commanded, if Ron has a burden, to take upon me his burden, so we're both carrying it. You will learn as a good Christian, when you learn to carry other people's burdens, you learn phrases like, we'll make it through this. But it's not your technical burden. It has nothing to do with me technically, Pam's back problems and leg problems. But we're in this together. Technically, I don't have to ever take on my shoulders Christy's migraines and her husband's health issues. But I want to take that on my shoulder too. I don't have to worry about Haiti. I don't have to worry about all the conditions there and what people are going through. I can live right here and enjoy America. But you know what? I enjoy America a lot more because Haiti's on my mind. I know how good my life is. I know how good my condition is. And you know what? The burdens that get put on me as a pastor in America, say, how do you make it, Pastor? I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I got a lot of the pastors' burdens on mine. You know, the pastors around here, they would tell you, the pastors who I know, they would tell you, I'm always calling them and checking on them and taking their burdens on me. Why? Because nobody watches out for pastors. They carry their burdens alone, so I go after them. And they have a bigger church than me, and they know a lot more than me and are more successful than I am and everything else. But you know what? I call them and say, what's going on? How you doing? And try to carry their burdens with them. How are you going to do that? You got your own burdens. I don't worry about my burdens very much, to be honest with you. I often tell God, I don't got time to worry about this. I got too many other things to worry about. Lord, take care of this. And my things kind of just seem to work out. My things kind of seem to work out. Don't you worry about your health, as busy as you are, and going to Haiti and doing this and that? No. And you know when the last time I went to a doctor was? I don't. I have not been to a doctor in at least a dozen years for anything. I take that back. I snuck in an appointment when taking my kids to a pediatrician. And I said, hey, doc, I got a question for you. He's a Christian guy and did it, but I didn't get any treatment. I'm as healthy as a horse. That might be your meal. And might be. We'll just name that pot Silver. And I don't think most of you know who that is. Never mind. I hope Silver, old show. And can I tell you? I have burdens, you have burdens, but you know what? If you start, do you know there's some big burdens in this room today? There's some big heartaches in this room. You got to find out. When you look at somebody and see them crying, don't act like you didn't see them. And you say, well, I'm not very good at that. I'm not good at it. I'm poker face guy. I have a hard time weeping at those who weep because I have deep feelings, but they get stuck somewhere in my neck. They never get to my face. And people like when you weep with them, and people like when you say, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's good if you can do that. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at this whole thing. I can take the burdens. I can pray about them. I can think about them. I can care about them. I can offer a solution and tell them I care. But I'm not even very good at telling people that. I'm just not that good at stuff. You don't have to be good at it, folks. You have to care. And just you walk up and say, I'm sorry. You know what? I'll pray about you. I'll pray for you about that. And then do it. And then do it. You carry their burdens on your shoulder. You might have to give them some money because they're short on funds. You might have to go and get them some food this week. When somebody dies, when somebody has a funeral, when somebody is in the hospital, our church will immediately say, we'll bring you food this week. And we'll have people, and you guys, many of you have done this, you've cooked meals for people and take meals by people and do that. Why? We bear one another's burdens. But then we also keep them on our heart. See, because when we get wrapped up in this selfish mindset that we naturally are taught, we don't want to think about other people's problems because we want to feel happy and good. I've told my wife before, my wife likes to read a book or watch a movie that women like to watch, which is Terrible, Miserable Things Happen. We watch some movie, and here it comes. Happy husband, happy wife. I love you like nobody else in the world. And he dies. And she finds out she's pregnant, of course. And then all of a sudden, the barn burns down on her. And wife's over going, this is so good. This is what's so great. I'm going, this is miserable. Why do you want to watch this stuff? Hide the sharp objects. And how many times have I said, I have enough real things that are miserable that I know about. I don't need fake things. Women, you're weird. And watch that stuff. Man. Reading a book and just bawling their eyes out. Put that thing away. Oh, it's such a good book. No, it isn't. You're crying. It's not a good book. It's a bad book. Bad book makes you cry. Good book makes you smile. And so I'm going to tell you, you need to have people on your heart. You say, but it'd be sad to think about them. Don't just think about them. Pray for them. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Remember, they're supposed to take them into God's presence. You take the burden with them into God's presence. You take them on your heart into God's presence. Bear ye one another's burdens. James 5 will say this. I want you to not be selfish. I want you to care about people. I want you to find others' burdens. I want you to look for needs. I'm not saying, and by the way, I'm not saying watch miserable TV shows. You can't do anything about them. It's pre-recorded. You don't know the person, okay? You don't need to watch out some mass murder kill the whole family. You know, that's not what you need to watch. I'm talking find people in your life and go and say, I care about you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. Can I help you with this? You know what? You didn't sleep at all last night. Let me take the kids for an hour and you go take a nap. Bear you one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. No, we're fine. I don't stay up when the kids cry all night, unfortunately. I got to bear my wife's burden. I sleep. And so James 5. By the way, I did that this week. Honey, go take a nap. The kids were up a lot last night. Husbands. Amen, preacher, that's good. And James 5. Ladies, I made up for it. I picked on you, now I picked on the guys. We're all even. James 5 says 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You're supposed to confess your faults one another. Why? So somebody can bear your burden with you. You're not designed to bear your burdens all alone. So you go to somebody here, you trust in church, you talk to me, you talk to the person sitting next to you, you talk to your wife, you talk to your best friend at church, and you say, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I can't stop smoking. Can you pray for me? And you say back to them, I will pray for you. And you know what? We'll get through this together. And then you say, what day do you want me to call you and check and see if you're free? And you help them. And you help them. And you bear the burden with them. And don't let them be alone. It can be a pretty lonely world out there. You can feel awfully alone. You know what you can do? You can write them a note and say, I just want you to know, I was just praying for you today. But you got to pray. You got to carry their burdens with them. Go through what they go to. Maybe go to the hospital with them. And by the way, I want to say this. If you're going to the hospital and you're going to be in there for something, you're going to be in there, call the church. Let us visit you there and pray with you. Don't be there alone. If you have to call me at 2 in the morning, call me at 2 in the morning. My wife will visit. I mean, we'll come visit you. And no, we'll call at 2 in the morning. And you know what? 3 in the morning, doesn't matter. We'll come. Because we want to bear the burdens together. Want to bear the burdens together. You want to bear God's burdens together. Philippians chapter 2, and I just got to just do a couple of verses. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2, 4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. One more scripture back in Exodus, and I'm gonna finish up with scripture. Exodus 30, Moses has to do this for Israel. Exodus chapter 30. I'm sorry, Exodus 32. I wrote Exodus 30. Exodus 32, verse 30. It says, and it came to pass in the morrow that as Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I shall go up to the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for you. Israel done terrible sin and idolatry, and Moses said, hey, I'm going up to God to bear this to God for you. And he does. And he goes up there and he begins to pray. And he says, I will go up for you. I shall make an atonement for your sin. Exodus 32, verse 30. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people has sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Now, Moses was in the mount praying. Moses was in the tabernacle praying. Moses didn't do anything wrong, but they did terrible wrong. And Moses comes down and Moses says, God, I got to talk to you about these people. They sinned a great sin. And here's what Moses said. Not the condemning spirit of God, they deserve this punishment, let them have it. Not God just forgive them. Moses went to them and said, God, don't lay this sin upon them. And do not let them be punished all the way for their sin. And take away their sin. And look at his phrase. It's the only time the Bible this is done, verse 32. And now, if thou will not forgive their sin, dash. The structure in the Hebrew is very strange here. There is no words to speak it how broken Moses would be. He said, God, for if you will not forgive their sin, then... Why was he in such anguish of spirit? He didn't do anything. It wasn't punishment coming on him. Because he was carrying them to God. And then he says one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. He said, God, if you're going to not forgive their sin, then blot me out of your name, my book out of your name in the book of life. That's the book of how you get to heaven. He says, God, if you won't forgive their sin, then blot my name out of your book. His heart was all about them. And they had messed up. Yes, I want to say this. If you'd quit looking down on the person who's so bad and quit being so angry and bitter at them because of what they did and take them to God with God's heart and bear their burden to God and bear their sin to God, you might find when you love them as much as you love yourself and want God not to punish them and want God to bless them and pray for your enemies and bear their burden to God even though they might not ever pray to God. Because you have the heart of God. God might say, okay, I'm going to do something here. Because I care. Because you care. Because you carry them on your shoulders and near your heart. That's what we do. But our problem is we barely pray. Jesus bore our burdens at Calvary. Had nothing to do with him. He bore your sins, he says. He carried your cross. And he did that. I want to beg you to get a prayer life going. If I can have... Jess and Ron, come on up here. I'm just going to show you how to make a little prayer list so you can begin to pray for other people. Give me one. Just hand those out real quick. These are prayer lists, a sample prayer list we made up for church to help you have a prayer life. I find our minds are too undisciplined to keep praying if we don't pray consistently. You need three things really to succeed in prayer right now with our busy lives, with the entertainment we have, with our busy schedules, with our wandering minds. You need a time to pray. Tell me what time every day you're going to pray. 8 in the morning, 8 at night, 6 in the morning, 6 at night. Doesn't matter. Noon. Pick a time and give that time to God. only to God. Set it aside. Do nothing else during that time. You have a time to pray and you have a place to pray. Jesus said, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Find a place to pray. It can be in the forest. It can be in your backyard. It can be in your bedroom. But it's got to be private where you can shut a door in the sense where it's private. You can pour out your heart to God. And nobody sees you. Jesus prayed in the mountain. You have to find a place to pray. If you're in a house full of people, go into the bathroom and do it in the shower. And set that aside to pray. Just turn the water on, but just really be praying. Find a place alone to pray. Go out in your car. Go for a drive. But you have to find a place to pray. I know a lady who had a laundry room, and she prayed while she ironed. And that was her prayer time. And she would close the door and pour her heart to God while she's ironing. Two birds, one stone. Usually doesn't work, but ironing is brain dead work, and you can do that. But find a time, find a place, and then have a list. Why? Because your mind will wander if you don't. You'll start praying, and your mind will start wandering about something else, and 20 minutes later, you haven't even prayed. You just thought about the day or what happened yesterday or something else. And I want you to write down people's names. First, worship is giving God glory for who he is. He's the God of the universe. He's omnipotent. He's your father. He's amazing. He's loving. He's graceful. Who he is, that's worship. That's giving God glory because he's God, because he's compassionate, because he's patient, because he's merciful. And you give him glory for who he is. Then praise is praising him for what he's done. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my nation I live in. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my amazing pastor and all the things you can praise God he gave you. And that was funny. And you praise him for all that he's done in your life. And for giving you a job and all the things you have blessed. Because you are blessed. Whether you know you are or not. I know you have problems, but you're blessed. Come with me to Haiti. I don't mean that wrong. I'm not telling you to go to Haiti. Go to Haiti there and travel there. And you will find that if you're blessed. Next, then just write down prayer requests. Why? Because I come in and say, folks, pray for me. My ankle is killing me today. And it bothers me every single day. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that. And you know what you do? You might say, Lord, bless him, right there in the service. And you know what? You know how many more times you think about me this week? None. You don't pray for my ankle at all because you forget. Write down a prayer list. Write this down. You can run copies of this off and make a different one every week if you want. We just need to get some structure in prayer and not forget to bear one of those burdens before God. So write them down. Write down their needs. And we've got to get structured and do this. Can you go and take others' burdens on your shoulder and keep them near your heart to God? Bring them to God. Bring them to God. Bring them to God. Bring them to God. Carry God their burdens to God. Carry them on your shoulders to God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to follow this example. Though we had a short time, Lord, I pray that great verse, our memory verse, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Lord, I pray today that we'd get real prayer lights where we care for each other and carry each other's burdens. Help us to make this decision and be disciplined about it and structured and serious and faithful to it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm asking you today to start bearing other people's burdens.